So good morning, Church of the Palms. So nice to have so many snowbirds coming back, isn't it? If you're glad, raise your hand. Okay, you better raise your hand, huh? It is another beautiful day in Arizona. We have the bells playing for us. We have the choir. Doug Bland is here to give us a special story. And it's just, as Mr. Rogers would say, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We're glad you're here. If you are visiting, you're especially welcome. We have fellowship time in King Hall down at the opposite end of our building following worship. We are an open and affirming church. We welcome all people. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And if you've been here forever, if you've been here for three times or you're brand new today, you are always welcome here. Let us then enjoy the presence of God in this place, the Spirit that as it moves among us, and let us worship God together. Please join me in our call to worship, as you will see it on the screen. God laid the earth's foundations in the beginning. The heavens are made by God's hands. They will be changed, but God's love will stay the same.
Can you hear? Ooh. Now you can hear me. Our first spiritual reading this morning is from the skeptical believer, Dan King. This is a contemporary retelling of the Genesis story. Now life burst into many forms, reptiles, mammals, and dinosaurs. On land, reptiles and birds in the air. Over millions of years, the mammals developed complex brains that enabled them to learn. Among these were the creatures who lived in the trees. From these, our first ancestors derived, then and only then, 40,000 years ago, the first men and women appeared. They began to know about themselves and what they were doing. They were not only conscious, but self-conscious. The first word, the first laugh was heard. The paintings were made. The first sense of destiny beyond, with the first signs of hope. For these people buried their dead with ritual. The first prayers were made to the one who made all that is and all that is becoming. The first experiences of goodness, beauty, and truth. Our second reading is from American author and actor Peter Coyote. The idea of absolute freedom is fiction. It's based on the idea of the independent self. But in fact, there's no such thing. There's no self without other people. There's no self without sunlight. There's no self without dew and water and bees to pollinate the food that we eat. So the idea that behaving in a way that doesn't acknowledge these reciprocal relationships is not freedom, it's an indulgence. Isn't it a joy to have enough snowbirds back that we have a full bell choir? Thank you, bell choir. Now, will you please join me in our unison prayer of confession? Holy God, in the daily round from sunrise to sunset, remind us again of your holy presence, hovering near us and in us. Free us from regret and self-doubt. Help us to live honestly, to act courageously, and to speak from our wisdom. Amen. Friends, the Apostle Paul tells us that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness, mercy, hope, and love are the gifts of God freely and unconditionally given to each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Genesis. God spoke, "Earth, generate life, every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds." And there it was, wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God bless them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the animals in the air and for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Our second reading is from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them and crown them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Here ends the reading.
Well, I hope it's okay if I speak from here instead of from the pulpit. I want to be a little closer to Pope Francis, hoping that some of him will rub off on me. Some of him, not all of him, but he has written a remarkable encyclical called Laudato Si, Blessed Be, where he sort of channels the patron saint of ecology, St. Francis. And if you get a chance to take a look at that, please do. It's an honor and a great pleasure to be here. I always feel like I'm very much at home when I'm in a UCC church. In fact, last spring there was an annual meeting, and I was a part of that for the United Church of Christ in Sedona, in that beautiful sanctuary where you look out at the red rocks. And I felt like I was so much among kindred spirits there that I got back home and I called up John Dorhauer and I said, how do I get dual standing with the United Church of Christ? And so he told me how, and I've taken the UCC polity and history class online this summer. And in November, I go before the Commission on Ministry, and hopefully I'll get dual standing. We are disciples and United Church of Christ, good partners in ministry, and I'm grateful for all that you do. Before I tell you a story, let me say a little bit about Arizona Interfaith Power and Light. It's a religious response to climate change, and I'm executive director for this group. We now have 34 congregations in the state of Arizona. It's a national organization, so there are 40 state affiliates. But we do things in Arizona like, 2 years ago we had a Move the Climate event where we started at the Global Institute of Sustainability in Tempe at the ASU campus. And we walked, 200 of us, from there to the mosque, to the Hillel Center, to the Catholic Newman Center, to the United Church of Christ, to the Methodist Church. And at each point along the way, we had different storytellers who told stories about refugees, environmental refugees somewhere in the country. So one environmental refugee was the bog copper butterfly in New England that's having to move the whole population up north further and further as the climate changes and warms. Another climate refugee was someone on the Pacific island nation of Tuvalu, where the sea level is rising. So as he told the story, he had this shower curtain in a loop. And as he told the story, the waves rose up higher and higher until they were just under his nose. We do things like Parking Day Phoenix. So I got this cardboard box and I painted it mahogany brown. And then I cut a little window in the front of it and put curtains in it and armholes so that you could wear this box, and I call it an eco-fessional. So we took it downtown Phoenix, occupied a parking spot, and gave people downtown an opportunity to confess their ecological sins. And then we gave them penances that they could do. The mayor, Mayor Stanton, confessed his ecological sins. But I'm not able to tell you what he said. Let me start, before I tell the story from Genesis, by telling you a poem that I wrote about another account of Genesis creation. You know, there are two. The first creation account, God speaks the world into existence, tells a story, and the world develops. And the second creation story, God gets down and dirty with some dust and shapes human form and then blows the breath of life into it. But I think the first creation story is a marvelous example of the power of storytelling. For me, to be made in the image of God is to have that ability to create worlds by the stories that we tell. It was only a story about dry land and water and fish and birds and fruit and land and water, and they were only a story. Such things didn't really exist. God made them all up. But in the telling, they came to life and a new world was created. Let there be light, and there was light. And then God imagined another creature into existence. This creature couldn't swim like the fish or fly like the birds or run like the beast. All this creature could do was tell stories, made up stories. It was a dark and stormy night. Once there was and there was not. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Call me Ishmael. Once there was a man who had two sons. They were only stories. We made them all up. But in the telling, new worlds were created. In the telling, new worlds are created. It's said that in order to stay spiritually alive, you need to fall in love at least three times a day. Now, I know what you're thinking. If I started doing that, some of my significant relationships might be threatened. But I would submit to you that there are enough cactus wrens, enough Arizona sunsets, enough distant stars, enough mesquite trees that you could fall in love three times a day from now to eternity, much less now every day of your life. Adam and Eve were in love. Do you know the place? It's a garden where the sounds are fuller and the colors are brighter and the living is better than any other place in the world. And love is a garden. Adam and Eve would get up in the morning before the sun rose to go to work. Now, this was before demanding bosses or production quotas or alarm clocks, so they just get up and go to work for the joy of it. What Adam liked to do was bake bread. So he'd get this big pile of dough and he'd knead it, and he loved the way he could bury his fist in that warm dough and it'd fold around his arm. Eve loved nothing. Whose phone is that? Okay, I'll tell him that too. Eve loved nothing more than to work in the field. She would get her scythe out and she would cut down the grain of wheat, and she loved the way the sun would shine on her bare brown skin. After work, they loved to go for a walk with God in the cool of the day, or go down by the pool where they went Well, we'd call it skinny dipping, but they just called it swimming. And there at the pool, Adam would often turn to Eve and say, "Eve, you are the most beautiful woman in the world." Of course, he didn't know about Holly Berry or Kate Winslet. And Adam would turn to Eve and say, or Eve would turn to Adam and say, "Adam, you are the most handsome man in the world." Of course, she didn't know about George Clooney or Matthew McConaughey, Brad Pitt. I guess you could say that there was a lot that Adam and Eve didn't know. They didn't know that in 1971, the Mets took the World Series. They didn't know that in 62, Miss Texas was crowned Miss USA. They didn't know that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. They didn't know that Adam was really supposed to be taller than Eve, or that his nose was really quite too big for his face. They didn't know that Eve had this unusually large space between her two front teeth that could be corrected by an orthodontist for $6,500. There was so much they didn't know, but it didn't matter because they were madly, deeply, crazily in love. One day there was a knock at the door. They'd never had anybody knock at the door before. They didn't know they had a door. Adam got up and answered it, and there was this tall, slender character with a hat pulled down over his eyes. All you could see was this long, bifurcated tongue lashing the air. And at the stranger's feet, there was this black leather case that said in gold embossed letters, "Britannica," across the bottom. He was selling in encyclopedias. And Adam and Eve bought a set. And new doors opened. They ended up in the information age. And they found out things that they didn't know before. Many useful things. I mean, Adam found out that he could order this bread maker that would do so much of that work for him. Eve found out that she could buy this little Kubota tractor, order it from the catalog, and it helped her with the farm work. But it also caused some problems. I mean, they'd start reading the encyclopedia, and then she had her ideas, and he had his ideas, and they would argue back and forth over his turf and her turf, and they forgot the turf of the garden. They didn't notice that the weeds were growing up and choking the plants, and the plants needed watering. One day they were walking through the woods and they saw this encyclopedia salesman up in a tree with a laptop computer. He was typing away. And Adam and Eve were so curious, they went up and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "It's an apple." And then they lost it altogether. I mean, they were surfing the net, and they were Googling this, and they were Googling that. And all the time they were doing that, the garden was disappearing, and asphalt was being poured, and strip malls were being created, and there was hate radio. And before long, they looked around, and they said, "Where is the garden? What happened to the garden?" And they ended up in the land of Nod, where they joined First Congregational Church. And Eve got a job with the Department of Agriculture as a computer programmer. Adam got a job at Wildflower Bakery as a manager of the bakery. And they made the best of their lives in the land of Nod. Sometimes in the evening, they'd go for a walk. They'd go down by Mrs. McCurdy's house. She was growing some honeysuckle vines there. And Eve would say, "Adam, do you smell that?" And it would remind them of sometime. They couldn't quite remember when. And then they'd walk by this new subdivision. It was called Quail Run because the quail actually used to run there. And then they'd go down by the park as the sun was setting. And the sun was shining through this red maple vine, and it looked like it was frickin' on fire. And Adam said, "Look at that, Eve." And the colors were so beautiful and bright that it reminded them of some time. They couldn't quite remember when. But they went home from that, and they got an urge. Several urges, in fact. Adam got an urge to bake bread with his own hands. Eve got an urge to buy some seeds and plant a garden and put the seeds in the ground and get her hands dirty in that rich soil. They got an urge to make a generous contribution to Arizona Interfaith Power and Light. They got an urge to make their corner of the world a little brighter, a little more beautiful than it was before. In love is a garden where the sounds are fuller and the colors are brighter and the smells are sweeter and the living is better than any other place in the world.
Thank you, Doug. In our last hymn, we were talked about a challenge, and I think we've all been addressed with a challenge today from Doug's message. Thank you. And what's going on around here on the back of your bulletin today? Let's do our prayers first, shall we? Please include all of those that we have listed for prayer up above in that first column. I'd like to add to that Roberta Bobby Brown has passed. I know some of you know her. She died on October 1st. And my understanding was that she was over 100 when she died. So please remember Bobby's family in your prayers. Also, Connie Carson has a nice thank you. Please note that as well in your prayers today. Let us join together as we pray. God, we do ask and lift up all of those that are mentioned for our prayers today, prayers for healing, prayers for presence, prayers for your strength. We pray too for our world today, O God. We pray for NAU. We pray for Texas Southern University. We pray that you would give us the fortitude to continue to work for peace, for understanding, and for the vigilance in addressing the real issues of unrestricted firearms purchase and mental illness. We pray for those colleges and students and all families who have been torn apart by gun violence on their campuses, in their neighborhoods, and in their homes. Help us, O God, to be the peacemakers God has called us to be. Help us also, O God, to be strong in your presence as we worship today. Help us to know of your healing and of your love, of your power, of your hope for our world, for our natural world, for the world of your creation, for all of your creation. We ask your blessings on all those places in our world that are struggling with cultural change and political change and environmental change. We pray for ourselves and for our congregation that we might reach out with our prayers and with our offerings, with our hands, to our neighbor, to those in need, to your creation. We thank you for this day that you have brought us to be together to worship you, to hear your word, to sing your praises, to be inspired by the music of our church. We thank you for this day, and we pray that you strengthen us all in your service, that we might be greater servants in caring for this world and caring for its people. We pray these things in Jesus' name, as together we pray in the way he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please make note of other announcements that you find on your What's Going On Around Here page. Reminder of our memorial service for Gordon Roundy, which is Tuesday. You'll see the dates, date and time for that service here at our church. Also the tour of the New Life Center. There's a sign-up clipboard on the table in the back. Rummage sale is coming. Second organizational meeting will be this week. Also a reminder of our their visit from our Samoan congregation in our conference. We'll be here for singing with us and for dinner on the 27th of October. Also want you to note that the reflections at the bottom of the page that are called Stewardship Reflections, you will be seeing those in your announcement page for the next few weeks as we will soon be beginning our fall stewardship campaign. Also, I believe on the back table there are flyers that look like this telling about our Bring a Friend Sunday, which is November 1st. So please remember to pick one or two or 10 of these up and give them to neighbors and friends, inviting them to join us for worship on November 1st. David Kennicott asked me to mention also that Royal Oaks is sponsoring an information session, a walk actually, a fundraising walk for Alzheimer's. And so that will be coming up, I believe, is it this weekend, David?
Yes,
this weekend. So if you're interested, David will be out in at the end of the hallway by King Hall if you have interest and need information from him about that. I believe that's all that we have in the way of announcements. We are here as people of God to support our church, to reflect the goodness, the abundance of God that we have received. Let us reflect that abundance as we receive these morning tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Still speaking God, creator of all that is and all that will ever be, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. Please accept these humble offerings in service to others in your name. Amen. Before we leave today, if you are interested in coming forward to communion, it will be available at the head of this aisle. Everyone is welcome at Christ's table. There are no exceptions. And now, as we go into the week, may God lift your heart and open your eyes to fall in love each day with the abundance of creation that he has gifted the universe. May Jesus Christ sustain you, and may the Holy Spirit be a guide into your life this day and every day. Go in peace.